Karen Slaughter, thank you so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
And congratulations on the brand new book.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's always a relief to have the book out there, but it also becomes a very different kind of busy for you.
It does. I've been touring a lot with the book, doing lots of interviews, but it's kind of nice to put on a different hat from being a writer and go out into the real world and have to wear shoes and talk to people.
And you're wearing a different hat today as a reader, not just a writer. And I'd be fascinated to know what you've brought in to talk about today.
Well, I've brought several books, but the favorite one of mine is Gone with the Wind. It stays in the national psyche, and not just nationally, but internationally. I was just in Poland, and I had 15 interviews back-to-back over the course of 3 days, and every single interviewer mentioned the book Gone with the Wind.
I think I've read articles where Gone with the Wind is second only to the Bible in international popularity.
It is. And, you know, it's a fantastic story. It won the Pulitzer Prize. I think it's been overshadowed a bit because it was so popular. You know, people tend to think if something's extremely popular, it can't be really well written or interesting or any of those good things. But it's a fantastic story. And I remember reading it when I was a kid, and it really inspired me to want to be a writer.
When did you first pick up Gone with the Wind?
I think I was about 12 years old, which for a young girl is a great time to read Gone with the Wind. You know, there's a lot of sexual tension and passion.
Do you have a favorite passage?
Absolutely. And, you know, as a thriller writer, of course, I'm interested in crime. And a lot of people forget the fact that there's a cold-blooded murder at the center of Gone with the Wind. It's when the Yankee comes and he's stolen Scarlett's mother's sewing kit. And Scarlett kills the Yankee. And this is a really pivotal scene. She had killed a man. She who took care never to be in at the kill on a hunt. She who could not bear the squealing of a hog at slaughter or the squeak of a rabbit in a snare. Murder, she thought dully. I've done murder. Oh, this can't be happening to me. Her eyes went to the stubby-haired hand on the floor, so close to the sewing box, and suddenly she was vitally alive again, vitally glad with a cool, tigerish joy. She could have ground her heel into the gaping wound which had been his nose and taken sweet pleasure in the feel of his warm blood on her bare feet. Pretty violent stuff, right?
It is.
I think about how women write differently from men when they write about violent scenes. Usually all the senses come to bear. You know, when men write about something awful, they tend to just say, here's the gun, here's the body, here's the blood. And I don't want to bash on some guys there,
well, sure.
But they certainly do a good job. But for me, that's the quintessential woman's perspective on violence, because let's face it, we're more likely to be victims of violence. So it's kind of interesting to see this sort of violence written about from a woman's point of view. And the fact that she wants to dance on his blood is really a kind of shocking idea for Scarlett O'Hara.
Karen, do you think you were more apt than, a girl in Pittsburgh growing up to read Gone with the Wind as a 12-year-old?
I think so. You know, one of the things that I feel strongly about is I support libraries wholeheartedly. And that's because the librarians at my Jonesboro Public Library are the ones who really fostered my interest in Southern literature. And the first book they gave me when I was ready was Gone with the Wind.
It was required reading.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's more of an openness toward the book. There's a lot of knee-jerk reaction about the book because of the issues of race and the dialect and that sort of thing. And to me, you know, this comes up, I think one of the most banned books in the world is Tom Sawyer. But I think that having an adult explain it to you and put it in context is very important. It's much more important than denying that the history even existed.
Interesting that you grew up in Jonesboro, because many say that Jonesboro and some of the surrounding plantations served as the model for Tara, Twelve Oaks, these plantations in Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah. And there are lots of tourist traps down there. I do remember when I was growing up, there was a Scarlett O'Hara impersonator in my high school, and my stepmother would often say to me, well, she's just got something going. You really should listen to her and take a cue from her, as if I could be a Scarlett O'Hara impersonator one day.
Something to which you could aspire.
Exactly.
So, Karen, what else do you have for us?
I have a book called The Treatment by Mo Hayder. And Mo Hayder is an English author, and she's really hardcore. So if you enjoy reading mysteries where cats knit and solve puzzles, then this is not the book for you. But it really is one of the few books, I think, that has ever really scared me.
What is the plot?
It's really awful. And it's about families basically being kidnapped in their own homes and forced to do awful things and then murdered. And to give much more away, I think would ruin the plot for everybody. But it really is a hardcore book. So if you are someone who's squeamish, it's not the book for you. Mo started being published around the same time as I did. So there's a group of us who've kept in contact and sort of, you know, acknowledge each other in our acknowledgments and say, way to go in that last one and things like that. And I think if anyone asked me or anyone was foolish enough to ask me to teach a class in writing thrillers, I would use The Treatment as the book because it's just masterfully plotted.
Should we be surprised that you as a crime writer would choose, for enjoyment's sake, to read a book filled with blood and gore? It almost seems to me that it could be too much like work.
Well, it can be in some ways. If I'm reading a really bad one, it is a lot of work.
All you can think of is, why did they do that?
Right, exactly. And actually, I'm very easy to fool. So if I can figure out the plot of a book, then I think it's a bad book. If I figure out who done it before I'm supposed to. But, you know, I love reading. Something I always have done. It's a pleasure to read. And I think it's very important for writers to read, especially because that's how we learn how to write books.
For you to say that this is one of the scariest books you've ever read as a crime writer, that's really saying something.
Well, it is, you know, because I do read a lot of crime and I read autopsy reports and police investigation notes and that sort of thing. But I think what really gets to me is the psychological aspect. I mean, that turning of the screw and where you have scenes that seem so normal and you know something horrible is happening or going to happen. It's just a very frightful thing. And she pulls it off beautifully and she hides who the real nasty people are in plain sight also, which I think is a great trick. And for a book to surprise me like this one did is pretty rare.
For me, my favorite kind of horror movie is one in which what scares you is not what you see, but what you don't see.
Absolutely. And I always think of the Blair Witch Project, which the entire movie, I thought, this is a stupid movie. Why am I watching it? And then the last minute, it has stayed with me forever. Freaked me out. I couldn't sleep. You know, I was terrified the whole night. I think a good book can do that, too.
What else have you brought in for us?
Well, being, of course, a Southerner, I have to have some Flannery O'Connor. And my favorite is A Good Man is Hard to Find. I think it's a fantastic story. And again, it's that slow turning of the screw because you have this typical family vacation and everybody's fighting and there's a nasty grandmother in the back seat always making nasty comments about everybody. I mean, we've all been on this trip. And, you know, for me, it was my sisters because I'm the youngest of three and I would have to sit on the hump and they would always be slapping me and we would say to my dad, you know, she's breathing on me or she's in my space or that sort of thing. And of course, what makes this a great Flannery O'Connor short story is there's a serial killer out there called the Misfit, and you have this feeling the family will eventually run into him, and of course they do.
So what first drew you to this book?
Got it at the library. The librarians knew I was pretty bloodthirsty. They wanted to wean me off V.C. Andrews because I was at that age where I was reading V.C. Andrews. And I'd like to point out I was in my 20s before I realized that Flowers in the Attic was wrong, that brothers and sisters should not fall in love and marry each other and have children. So probably they saw that I was reading that and thought, well, let's give her something a little less incestuous. And that was Flannery O'Connor. And it's, I think, probably one of her seminal works. I mean, it's just a fantastic study intention.
Flannery O'Connor, such a masterful writer when it came to character development.
Absolutely. You know, and the only contemporary author I can think of who's really good at doing that is Stephen King. He just really can sketch out a character so you know them instantly. And she excelled at that. She really made you understand who these people were. Her use of dialect was fantastic. I mean, these people sound like my poor country cousins. And when I read her initially as a kid, I just thought, oh, wow, this is great. This is sex and violence and all this sort of stuff and nasty things happen. And then in college, I finally understood it was for a reason. Mm. She was really great at doing what I think crime fiction should always do, and that's talk about human nature. Really, every book that has some kind of crime in it, whether it's Gone with the Wind or The Great Gatsby or Crime and Punishment, which had so much crime they put it in the title, it's an entree into kind of peeling the scab off the human condition. And Flannery O'Connor excelled at that.
With these three books, should this tell us a little bit about what formed you as the writer we know today?
I think so. You know, the one you know today is influenced by some modern writers, but really Flannery O'Connor and Margaret Mitchell were those early influences. And I have to admit V.C. Andrews as well.
Karen, with each of our page-turners guests, we ask if there is a notable quote specifically about reading and being a reader that you might like to leave with us.
Sure. Fran Lebowitz, she said, think before you speak, read before you think.
Karen Slaughter, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of your favorite reads with us.
It was a pleasure.